Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Charles Richblum, Dr. Knowledge. He has built one of the largest collections in the world of fascinating facts and stories that serve as a source for his Knowledge in a Nutshell book series. Charles served as news and sports editor of WJAS in Pittsburgh, taught college journalism. He founded a news service, Century Features, which syndicated interesting facts and tidbits to newspapers and radio stations worldwide as well. We're going to talk about a number of different facets of strange things, Knowledge in a Nutshell, including things about Christmas and New Year's traditions. Charles, great time to have you back, my friend.
Always good being with you, George.
These are fun times. How did you get started in all this?
Well, it goes back to many, many years ago, more than 50 years ago, in fact.
My gosh.
I was a teenage intern at a radio station in my hometown of Pittsburgh, and they had me working on July 4th, since I was the youngest one there. They had me working on the July 4th holiday, and my job was to clear the news wires. Of course, we didn't have computers back then. The news came over teletypes. And my main job was to tear off the sheets of paper as the news came across the teletype and hang the stories up on the nails up on the wall. Anyhow, this was July 4th weekend, and a story came over the wire, an overnight story from the Associated Press, that three of the first five U.S. presidents all died on July 4th.
Cool.
And I thought, boy, that's, I never remember learning that in school, and if that's true, that's incredible. And I looked it up, and sure enough, the second president, John Adams, died on July 4th, 1826, the very same day the third U.S. president, Thomas Jefferson, also died on July 4th, 1826. Obviously unrelated causes. Adams was in Massachusetts, Jefferson in Virginia, but they both died the same day. And then the fifth president, James Monroe, died on July 4th, 1831. So, you know, I'm thinking, what are the odds that three of the first five presidents would all die on the same date to begin with? And of all the dates in the year, it was July 4th. So,
wow.
I stuck that story in my pocket and started looking, began my desire to look for stories like that. And I really have spent the rest of my life since I was 15, 16 years old looking for stories like that. And the final result here is I have a new book called The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts, where I put in what I think are the best of what I've collected over the years, plus I spent a couple of years looking for new stuff, too. and that is our newest book, and it's called The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts, and it's on our website, Knowledge in a Nutshell, one word, knowledgeinanutshell.com.
And in those earlier days, Charles, there were no computers. You had to assemble all this by hand.
Yeah, and encyclopedias, which, by the way, you know, I still say are more reliable. You never be sure 100% of what you see on a computer is true. Much of it is, but some of it isn't. At least the old encyclopedias, when you're looking for, you know, things that would be in an encyclopedia, you can really count on them. They were, you know, put together by educated people, and you can rely on them for being accurate. Not everything on the computers, on the internet, is as you well know, is totally accurate.
We're going to throw some quick questions at you from the All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts. When we take calls next hour with you, questions, of course, but do you want them to try to stump you with things?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Not that hard to do.
Great trivia stuff. Great trivia. Let's talk a little bit about Christmas first.
Okay.
Why are Christmas colors red and green?
Well, the original decorations for Christmas tree, let me back up just a little bit. We didn't have Christmas trees in the old days. George Washington, for example, we have this in the All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts. George Washington never had a Christmas tree. People at that time did not have, it was not a custom in America to have Christmas trees. The people that started the custom were the Germans, and they began the custom by decorating trees outside and then gradually began bringing them inside. And when many German immigrants came to this country in the middle 1800s, they brought with them their custom of decorated Christmas trees in a home, and that's when it started. And most Americans who lived before, let's say, 1840, 1850, never had Christmas trees. And the custom really started in the middle 1800s, which is kind of a surprise, you know, that it's really that comparatively that recent. And one other thing happened. Queen Victoria in England married Prince Albert of Germany, and he came, of course, to live with the Queen in England. He brought with him the custom of a decorated Christmas tree, and of course, in the palace, they had this big, glorious Christmas tree in the palace, and a picture was taken of that, and that picture appeared in newspapers all over America, and that one picture really sparked the beginning of people saying, hey, you know, that's nice to have a Christmas tree in the house. So it started then, but going back to why the Christmas colors are red and green, originally, they didn't put any lights on the trees. Of course, there was no electricity in those days. Electricity didn't come till the later 1800s. And it was kind of dangerous to put a candle, a lighted candle, on the tree. You didn't want it to catch fire. So the original decorations for trees were very slim. The custom in Germany was to put a red apple or red apples on the green tree.
Huh.
That started the tradition of having the Christmas colors be red and green.
Is that the same with Santa too?
What's that?
Where they gave him a, you know, that red outfit?
Well, that was an artist, would you believe, for Coca-Cola. It was a Coca-Cola ad in the early 1930s.
Really?
Yeah, that gave us our current picture of Santa Claus. And the guy, I'm trying to think of his name right now, it slips my mind, but the artist who created that ad for Coca-Cola, it was in 1932. It was really a picture of him. That's the way he looked. He had the beard, and it was really a self-picture that he put in. And before that, Santa, there were many variations of what Santa Claus looked like. And it's really the picture from that 1932 Coca-Cola ad that we know Santa Claus as today.
Hat in sunbloom.
Yeah, no, very good, George.
How about that?
Very good.
See, I read your books.
Well, that's great. That's very good.
But I didn't know it was Coca-Cola that started that tradition.
Yeah.
And took off like a rocket.
And then, if I could, this brings tears to your eyes when you hear this story. The little girl who wrote the letter to the to a New York newspaper.
Yes.
She was 18
years old. Is there a Santa, right?
Yeah, let me just give that story because it's just so beautiful. Anyhow, this little girl, her name was Virginia O'Hanlon. She was 8 years old in 1897, And she asked her father one day, is there really a Santa Claus? And the father didn't really know quite how to answer. So he said, well, why don't you write a letter to the New York Sun, which was a prominent New York newspaper at that time. So she did. She sat down and wrote a letter. And an editor by the name of Francis Church answered Virginia's letter in what became one of the most famous newspaper columns of all time. And just, if I can just, some of this is just so beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
He said, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as much as love and generosity and devotion exist. Thank God he lives, because he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. And it's just such a beautiful answer. There's more to it, of course. We have the whole letter, by the way, in our all-time book of Fascinating Facts. But
and it tells it all right there.
Yeah, and when he said, thank God he exists and will make glad the heart of childhood, I mean, that's that really says it all. And by the way, she grew up, obviously, and became a school teacher in New York, in the New York public school system. She lived until the 1970s. She died in her 80s.
I wonder if she read that letter to her class every year.
Probably.
You would think so.
She was famous. Miss O'Hanlon was Virginia O'Hanlon.
Where is it Christmas every day of the year?
How about that? There are three places in the world where it is Christmas every day. There's one island in the Indian Ocean. It's a territory of Australia, and its name is Christmas Island.
It was all right.
Got its name because it was discovered on a Christmas day. There's also an island in the Pacific named Christmas Island, and there's one off the coast of Nova Scotia. The first two were named Christmas Island because they were discovered on a Christmas day. But the third one, the one off the coast of Canada in Nova Scotia, there was actually a guy named, it was his last name, Christmas, one of the early settlers there. And so the island was named after him, a real person. But anyhow, if you lived on any of those three islands, you could say, hey, you wake up any day, it's Christmas. You're right, it's Christmas there every day on Christmas Island.
I would say, now there's a question about the recordings of Christmas songs, which Christmas song has sold the most records. Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
I would say Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
You nailed it again, George.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah. And
what a giant he was.
You know, the more you listen to him, he sang so naturally. But the other, a couple of amazing things about White Christmas. First of all, I realize how many years it's been around. It was originated in a 1942 movie called Holiday Inn, and there's another little story about that. There was a later movie called White Christmas. The song wasn't that, but the song was introduced in the 1942 movie, Holiday Inn, sung by Bing Crosby in the movie. Then he made a recording of it, and it has sold somewhere around 50 million copies since then. And there are some record historians who say there is one other record that is either equal to it or close to it or may surpass it. They sort of run 1-2, and that's Elton John's Candle in the Wind. Which has sold roughly
classic,
40
yeah.
to 50 million copies. But just to think that White Christmas has sold that many, it's not only the best-selling Christmas song of all time, but it's the best-selling song of all time.
I love it.
By Bing Crosby. And one other thing about Holiday Inn, there was a guy in Memphis, Tennessee. His name was Kemmons Wilson, and he owned a motel in Memphis. And then after World War II, he wanted to expand his business, started opening motels, building motels elsewhere, and he was looking for a name for his motels, and he loved that movie, Holiday Inn, and he thought that's a perfect name for a motel chain, and that's where the name came from.
How about that?
Movie. And also in that movie, George, is interesting, it's called Holiday Inn, and there's a song for each holiday, and they're all written by Irving Berlin, who wrote White Christmas. Obviously, he also wrote Easter Parade, so that's a song for Easter. Be Careful, It's My Heart was a song for Valentine's Day. And the whole point of the movie is the inn was only opened on holidays. That's why it was called Holiday Inn. And they always had a big show on each holiday during the year.
Charles Richblum with us. His latest book, The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts. You can get it right off his website, knowledgeinanutshell.com, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Here's some off-Christmas things I want to ask you. Some scientists believe that those statues on Easter Island might have been left there by aliens. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing places in the world, George. There are 800 statues there. It's called Easter Island because it was discovered on an Easter day. It's in the South Pacific. And on those islands, there's, as I say, 800 statues. They're about 30 to 40 feet tall. They weigh 60 to 70 tons. And the question is, how did people, they've been there for centuries, how did those statues, who moved those statues from the mountain rock from which they were carved? They're out by the sea. They're out on the coast of Easter Island. So the question, and it's a major question, how could ancient people move those statues from the mountains out to where they are on the island? So that's one big question mark there. And the other question mark is what those statues look like. The faces don't quite look like humans. Some people say they look a bit like aliens. And the question is, were aliens there? Did they leave those statues as sort of a calling card? Did they carve out the faces in the mountain and move those 60 to 70 ton statues out to the coast? Nobody really knows, and it's very hard to imagine ancient people being able to move anything that heavy. And also, why do those faces not look human? Why were they carved to look, subhuman or non-human? They're very strange-looking faces, and are they really faces of aliens who might have been there? It's an interesting thing to think about.
You know, just about every question we're going to go through tonight, Charles, is a separate show all by itself.
Well, we could do that.
You have talked about turtles, that some of them outlive humans, obviously, 150, 200 years old, without any doctors, vets, medicine. How do they live so long?
Isn't that amazing? Nobody knows, really. And when you stop to think about it, George, there's some other animals, too. Jellyfish are another example, but turtles are probably the best example because we know definitely how long some of them live.
Yep.
You realize they don't take any medicine, no pills. They never see a doctor.
No stress.
Right.
Uh-huh,
nobody,
there's a key.
Nobody tells them what to eat. Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head there, as we say in the book. They're the slowest moving animals in the world. Maybe that's a lesson for us. but
that's
in any
a good point.
Case, it is amazing that they can outlive us with all our medical knowledge and all our medicines and everything that's been developed over the years, all our knowledge of medicine. We can't outlive those very primitive type animals.
Birds and fish can travel hundreds of miles and come right back to the spot they started. They don't have GPS tracking devices.
How do they do it? Salmon, for example, when they're born in a river, let's say in Washington State, after they're born, they swim out to the ocean. They swim hundreds of miles out into the ocean. And then when it's time for them to mate, they turn around and come back and come to the exact same spot from which they were born. How in the world do they do that? Like you said, there's no GPS there in the bottom of the ocean.
How do they do it?
And birds, the same way. You're not far from Capistrano, right? When the birds come back to Capistrano, they fly down to Argentina in the winter, and they fly back. And, you know, when they fly, you could say, well, they can see, but they fly through, you know, where the weather's bad. They fly at nighttime. There are no road signs that they can see. How do they get back to where they came from? That's another.
Does anybody know?
Mystery. No.
Is there another multiverse out there?
Well, that's a. I love that question because when you think about it, our galaxy has over a billion stars, just our galaxy. And there are billions of galaxies. And but is this the only universe? We have all that. Which also leads to the question, are we the only humans? Are we the only people in the whole universe? With all those billions and billions and billions of stars, with this little Earth, which is one of the smallest places in the whole wide universe, could it be possible that we're the only people like this in all the universe? It just, defies mathematical possibility with all the billions and billions of galaxies, and then in all those galaxies, all the billions and billions of stars. And then it leads to the question, well, maybe that's not even it. Maybe there's another universe out there just like this one. Maybe there's two or three of them. And that's something to think about tonight when you lay down and go to bed.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.